I'm so glad that we have this day that we set aside to recognize and to thank and to bless all of you, our moms, our ladies. We love you. We thank God for you. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. Two portions of scriptures in this great book. The first found in chapter 3, and then the second in chapter 10. First, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. The writer of Hebrews tells us this: "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first." And then, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, the writer continues, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." It's a great day, Mother's Day. Moms are indeed, you are indeed very special and important people in our lives. And Mom, without you, how many of us would be here today? You know, moms not only bring us into this world, but they prepare us for the world, and they help us to get through this life. I like what that video said. Life doesn't come with a manual, it comes with a mom. Praise God. Moms are many things. They're helpers, they're healers, they're teachers and caregivers. Moms love and listen, they guide and guard, they care and correct, they understand and they uphold. Moms pick us up when we're down, they offer the kind word. They know just the right thing to say. Moms are encouragers. And there's something here for all of us to learn from our encouraging moms, that we should all be encouragers. Every Christian should be an encourager. And the church should be a place of encouragement. A place where people can come and find love and caring and understanding and hear that kind word and be built up and lifted up. A place where people can come and find help and healing and hope. The church should be a place where you can come and be encouraged. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. And the Bible is full of encouragement. And these passages that we just read in the book of Hebrews clearly tell us how we need to assemble, how we need to gather, how we need to come together to be with God and to be with each other. And how important it is for us to be people of encouragement, to minister to each other, to build each other up, to encourage one another. In those verses that we read in chapter 3, The writer of Hebrews says, encourage one another daily. It should be an ongoing, regular thing that we do with each other. Encourage each other, one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that bad things don't begin to happen in our lives. You know, living this Christian life, I don't know how it is for you. I know how it is for me and for many people. It's not always easy. How many find this life easy? That hand went down quick, right? It's not always easy. And we are tempted to sometimes give up. You're in church, got to be honest. Have you ever been tempted to quit and give up? I have. And we need to understand that our determination to follow Jesus, to live for Christ, can weaken over time. And we need to motivate each other to keep going, to stay strong. And it's so important that the writer of Hebrews, he repeated himself. He says it in chapter 3, but then later on when he comes to chapter 10, he says, hey, I've got to point this out again. This is important. This is critical. This is crucial for the people to hear that they need to come together. And he says, spur one another on to love and good deeds, and let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some do, but let us encourage one another, and even all the more as you see the end times approaching. Is it getting easier out there to live for Jesus or harder? And so how much more than ever before we need each other, church. These are not easy times, and it's more important than ever that we need to come together. And when we come to church, we need to give serious thought to how we can stir each other's hearts and give hope and offer encouragement. Did you know that your words matter? What you say is important. And you're encouraging somebody can make a real difference in their life. I want to ask you two important questions as we begin this message today. Number one, do you need to be encouraged? Do you need to be encouraged today? And secondly, will you determine to be an encourager? Will you determine to be an encourager? The title of my message this morning is simply but powerfully, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great day. Not only to be together, to come together as your people in your house, to be with our brothers and sisters of like mind and like faith, to be with you in your house, in your presence, but it's also a great day because it's Mom's Day. And our moms teach us so much. They've encouraged us. They've seen us through so many things. So many hard times. Difficult days. They teach us how important it is to be encouragers. How much we need to be encouraged. Lord, I pray right now for those who are discouraged. That need to be encouraged. That need to be lifted up, built up in the faith today. Given new hope, new courage, inspired, motivated to continue on. Encourage your people today. And Lord, I pray that you would put it on each one of our hearts how we can be used of you to bless one another, to encourage one another. Encourage us today and call us to the ministry of encouragement. And Lord, one more time, I ask for the empowering and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon me, to enable me to share this message, because I can only do it in your strength and not my own. So I'm counting on it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we come to church, we need to realize several things. First, we need to realize that, well, many people are hurting far more than we know. And secondly, that a relationship with Jesus Christ can bring people help and hope and healing. Thirdly, that a community of believers who love and care for each other can become the helping hands in the encouraging words of Jesus. And that when we come to church, we come to meet God. And we come to be encouraged by His Spirit and by each other. So in the next few moments, let's look specifically at several important aspects of encouragement. To make it easier, I started them all with a P. The first P is purpose. The purpose of encouragement. The Bible makes it so very clear that we all need uplifting. How many need to be encouraged sometimes? We all need uplifting, and we all should be in the ministry. And notice I said the ministry. You know, every Christian is in the ministry. We should all be in the ministry of encouragement. I looked in the dictionary. Well, actually, I Googled it. What different times these are. I don't remember the last time I pulled my dictionary off my shelf. Maybe it's getting moldy. You just Google stuff, right? So anyway, I Googled encouragement, and the definition is this: to inspire with courage. Don't you sometimes need to be inspired? To be given courage to face this life? To be inspired with courage, spirit, or hope to hearten, to spur on, to stimulate. By further definition of what it means to encourage, I want to quote Christian psychologist Dr. Larry Crabb. He says this, and I quote, "A simply worded definition of encouragement might be this. Encouragement is the kind of expression that helps someone want to be a better Christian, even when life is rough. By the grace of God, I can have an effect on your life, and you can have an effect on mine." Isn't that good? And then he goes on and he adds, "And when we meet together as God's people, we are to encourage one another, to say and do things that stimulate others to a deeper appreciation of Christ and to stronger commitment to our relationship with Him and with each other." And I like this. All Bible-believing churches in which the redeeming love of Christ is faithfully proclaimed should be known for their emphasis on encouragement. Unquote. Isn't that good? So why do we emphasize encouragement? Well, because it's motivated by love. It's motivated by love. The selfless love of Christ that we are to have for one another. Didn't Jesus say, "This is the way that they will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another"? If we love one another, we want to see each other succeed. We want to make each other better. We want to bless each other, help each other, encourage one another. And we're motivated by the heart for Jesus, which is a heart of caring. and a heart of serving others, wanting our fellow believers to be better. I want to make you better. Not only Christ can really do that, but I can encourage you along the way. I can help point you in the right direction. And you can do the same for me and for each other. Our encouraging each other is found in looking out for one another and caring about how somebody else is doing. It's part of what it means to be the family of God, part of the body of Christ. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:24. He said, "Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others." And I love Philippians chapter 2, where Paul says this in the first few verses. Philippians 2, "If you have any encouragement," well, there's that word again. "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion," I want you to make a note of that word compassion, "then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Boy, I highlighted that word encouragement there again in that first verse. Where does encouragement come from? It arises out of caring and compassion. I think about compassion, and when I think of that word always says Jesus to me. Because Christ was a man of compassion. In fact, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, Jesus had gone away to a quiet, a private place to pray. But when he came back, it says when Jesus landed on the shore and of the lake and he saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It's the heart of Jesus. It's a heart that's full of compassion. Luke chapter 10, verse 33. It's in the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan. How many are familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan? I'm going to go over the whole story, but one verse. Luke 10:33, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where this man who was beaten and robbed and left on the road half dead. When a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, he saw him and he took pity on him." It's the NIV, the King James says that he had compassion on him. Do you know the Greek word that's used in both of these scriptures is the same word? The Samaritan had compassion on this man who was beaten and lying, dying along the side of the road. The same word that is used of Jesus when he saw the crowds and his heart was full of compassion on them. The same Greek word. The word is splanknizomai. Now, we're all going to have a Greek class. And I want you to repeat this word after me. Splanknizomai. Well, that was pretty poor. That was very weak. You are not going to pass Greek class today, friends. I'll give you another chance. Splanknizomai. That was a little better. One more time. Splanknizomai. Okay, you all get an A in New Testament Greek for today. So, all right, Pastor, what's the big deal? Well, let's look at this word for a minute. Splanchnizomai. The definition is to be moved with compassion and to be moved as to one's inwards. Splanchnizomai is really a derivation of the Greek word splankna. And you know what splankna means? It means intestines. Or if you want to use a modern word, guts. Next time you have a stomach ache, just say, my splankna is hurting. My guts hurt. Well, you know what? Our guts should hurt when we see people who are hurting. See, this word, splanchnizomai, that's used of Jesus and the compassion that he had on the crowds, the word that is used for the Samaritan who had compassion on the one who was laying hurt by the road, it literally means that they felt it in their gut. The compassion came from their innards. The dictionary defines compassion as, now catch this, sorrow for suffering with an urge to help. See, it's one thing to be sorry for somebody when they're going through it, but then it takes a step. Sorrow for suffering, but with an urge. Where does that urge come from? From the splankna, from the gut. From deep inside you. You're filled with compassion. Sorrow for suffering with an urge to help. To do something about it. To encourage. What's the purpose of encouragement? It's to fulfill the law of Christ. To demonstrate His love for our brothers and sisters. To help, to spur on, to motivate, to give hope, to help them get through tough times. To do for them what we would want somebody to do for us. I'll never forget when I was going through chaplain officer training course in the Army. Chaplain school at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. And we did our field training at nearby Fort Dix. We had been out in the field for several weeks, hiking, marching, doing all kinds of stuff as you veterans are familiar with. And after all of that pounding in those boots that didn't fit very well, my feet were totally beat up. I had blisters the size of silver dollars in my heels. And by the end of the time, I was in serious pain. But in order to complete chaplain school, we had to go through the last day, which included a lot more hiking, with full gear, rucksack, all of our equipment. We're marching for many miles and I was getting worse and worse and worse. My feet were so sliced up, I just didn't know if I could complete this. I didn't know if I was going to make it. The day ended with a long hike up a hillside on a tank trail, which is sand and loose dirt. The hardest kind of stuff to walk on. It wasn't a paved road by any means. And as we're making our way in formation up this hill, and we had to get to the top, we had to complete this hike to graduate chaplain school. With every step, I felt like razor blades slicing into my feet. I was in excruciating pain. And I got to where I just couldn't take one more step. And I fell out of the formation. I moved to the side, looking up that hill, knowing I wasn't going to make it. I wasn't going to finish. And all of a sudden, one of my classmates got out of formation voluntarily. And he came over to me. And he hooked his arm into my arm. It was a Roman Catholic priest. His name was Father Fred. He hooked his arm into mine. And he knew what I was going through. He knew the situation I was dealing with, the pain that I was in. And he said, "Jerry, you're going to make it. You can do this. And I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to go with you step by step up that hill. And we're going to make it to the top together." And Father Fred prayed me and pulled me and encouraged me to the top of that hill. And I graduated. And without Father Fred's encouragement, I would not have become an Army chaplain. Sorrow for suffering with an urge to help. What's so important about encouragement? We all need it because it's not easy out there. But it is easy to get discouraged, to lose heart, to lose our focus, to grow cold, to feel sometimes like giving up, like quitting. You see, I need your encouragement and your support. And you need encouragement from me and from your church. The purpose of encouragement. Secondly, the principles. The principles of encouragement. Encouragement begins with, again, true love for one another. Having a heart of care and concern and compassion. But then, it's going a step further. It's having and showing interest in the lives and the hurts and the needs and the concerns of others. Being interested in other people and their lives and what they're going through. I want to ask you a question. You don't need to answer out loud or raise your hand. But consider this question. Do people know that you really care about them? Do they know that you care? There's an old saying. I'm sure you've heard it. But it's so true. People don't know, people don't care how much you know. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, sometimes we just, as a matter of course, ask people, "Hey, how you doing? How's it going?" But sometimes when we ask that question, we really don't care to know. Sometimes we ask that question, "How you doing?" And we're secretly hoping that they don't really answer. But you say, "I'm fine, I'm good, thanks for asking." Whew. Boy, I dodged that bullet. Do we really care? I remember at a family gathering one time, there were some relatives there that we hadn't, you know, didn't get to see very often. And I remember this one particular family member coming up to me and pulling up a chair, sitting down next to me and saying, "So Jerry, how's it going? What's going on in your life?" And I started to answer his question. And maybe 2, maybe 3 minutes later, I looked up and he was gone. He didn't really want to know. He didn't really care. "How you doing? How's it going? What's going on in your life?" And then he's gone. You see, the key to encouragement is really getting to know others and their lives. And that takes time, and it takes effort, and it involves paying attention. I like to use what's called, what I call, the railroad crossing method. You know what the railroad crossing method is? Did you ever come up to a railroad crossing and there's a sign there, a cross bucks, and what does that sign say? Stop, look, and listen. That's the key to encouragement. Stop, look, and listen. And you know, it also requires transparency. You know, we need to be real with each other. So many times in the church as Christians, we're guilty of not being real with each other. We're too spiritual to be real. We're too holy, we're too godly to be real with each other. To be open, to be honest and sincere. You know, true encouragement happens when you offer it honestly and humbly. When you say to somebody, you know what? Sometimes I hurt too. Sometimes I go through stuff too. But God brought me through. Saying, you know what? I'm not too good. I'm not perfect. I'm not too spiritual to go through that. Sometimes I feel the same way. You see, friends, we need to encourage people, not discourage them. Sometimes we're so spiritual, we wind up discouraging people instead of encouraging them. The question again must be raised, do you really care? And know that encouragement goes both ways. It goes both ways. I like what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He said to his people, he said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged. I mean, that word comes up a lot. But not only encouraged, he said that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's what it's all about. Being open and honest with each other, being sincere with each other, being transparent with one another, caring about each other so that we can encourage each other, so that you can encourage me and I can encourage you. You can encourage the other and they can encourage you, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. You know, sometimes you don't have the faith. I can give you some of mine. And sometimes I don't have the faith and you can give me some of yours. And we can encourage, we can give courage to each other to get through. So we talked about the purpose and the principles of encouragement. Let's close with the third, the practice. The practice of encouragement. You know, encouragement starts with looking for opportunities to do it. Looking for opportunities. Caring and wanting to be a blessing to somebody else. Wanting to build up the body of Christ. You know, when we come to church and we spend time with one another, we should think of them, not just of ourselves. How many times we come into church just thinking of what I need, what's going on in my life, in my world, my prayer requests, what I need God to do for me, what I hope people will do for me. Do we come looking for opportunities to give, not just to get? Again, what did Paul say in Philippians 2:4? Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Not coming just to be blessed, but to be a blessing. You know, we need to engage others and and be looking for how you can encourage people. And you know, when you look for opportunities to encourage, they come out of the woodwork. They really do. When you look for opportunities to bless other people, why? Because people are looking, they're longing for others who will care for them, who will show them concern and compassion. People are longing for that. And when they know that you're an encourager, when they know that you're somebody who cares and will bless them and build them up, they will seek you out. But you know, we won't recognize those opportunities unless we consciously choose the goal of ministry. You know, you need to come together choosing the goal of ministry. I'm coming to church again, not just to see what I can get, or what the pastor can give me, or the church can give me, or God can give me, or what's going to be done for me or to me, but how can I come to be a minister? To choose the goal of ministry as you talk with people. How can I bless somebody today, Lord? How can I minister to somebody today? Maybe we need to come to church early. Ooh, now there's a novel concept. Come to church a little early. Oh no, and now that I'm on it, I mean, I'm already in at one foot, I might as well put the other foot in here. Not only come early, how about stay a little late? Because maybe if I come early before the service starts, I can encourage somebody. Maybe if I stay a little late, a little after the service is over, I can bless somebody. Woo! You see, people know who really cares for them. They know. And they will seek you out. I think the problem for many people is that they're afraid. They're afraid for people to share stuff with them because, I won't know what to say. I don't know what am I going to say? I don't know how to help people. Guess what? You don't need all the answers. First of all, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. But even beyond that, people will see your heart. They'll see your heart, and that's more important than exactly the words that you say. Sometimes the best encouragement isn't all kinds of scriptures and theology. Sometimes the best encouragement is to just put a hand on their shoulder and let them know that you care, and you love them, and you're praying for them, and you're going to be there to support them. It really isn't rocket science. Remember the railroad crossing method? Stop, look, and listen. Encouragement requires being a good listener. Listening is vital to caring and encouraging. You see, true listeners are very rare. There aren't very many of them. Because most people want to talk. Most people want to be heard. Here's what I know. You won't know how to encourage if you don't listen to others. You won't be able to encourage if you don't learn how to listen. Dr. Crabb, that I quoted earlier, says this, and I quote, "There are so few real listeners that when someone does incline their ears to others, they will stumble regularly into people who need encouragement." Unquote. What does the Bible say? How about James 1:19? "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." There's an interesting translation of that same verse in the MPV. Anybody familiar with the MPV? No? Well, that's probably because I just made it up. The MPV is what I call the modern people version. The modern people version. Because this is how many people interpret that verse. Here's how the MPV, the modern people version, translates James 1:19. It goes something like this. Talk as much as you can. Don't listen very much. And even when you are listening, be thinking about what you're going to say next when they're done. And get mad when you don't like what they say. That's the MPV. Want to encourage others? Listen to them. With both ears. With both ears. Listen to them. Understand what they're saying. And try to feel what they're feeling. And then let them know that what they're saying and what they're feeling is important. Can I give you a little tip? How many are ready for a little tip? You still with me? Prayer requests. Prayer requests are awesome opportunities for encouragement. That insert we put into the bulletin, man, that's your encouragement manual. When we share prayer, Wednesday night, of course, most people don't come Wednesday night, so they don't get to hear those prayer requests. Hint, hint, hint. But when you hear a prayer request, awesome opportunities for encouragement. Because a person's prayer request is a great clue into what's going on in their lives, what their cares and their concerns are, what they're dealing with. And a prayer request is an opener into how you can engage them and listen to them. A prayer request is, you know, somebody shares a prayer request or you see it's on the list in the bulletin and you can go up and say, you know, I saw this in the bulletin. I heard you share this in this service. You know, I heard this last week. How's it going? You know, your husband had surgery. How's he doing? How's it going? Tell me more. Can I pray with you? You know, I had the same surgery 3 years ago. And I know it really scared me to death. Are you nervous about going in? You see what I'm talking about? Prayer requests. Awesome opener in how you can help people and encourage them and listen to them. You know, the worst thing though we can do is asking them and then not really listening to what they're saying. People can spot that a mile away. And then lastly, use empathy. Use empathy. Here's what Paul said in Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And mourn with those who mourn. What is empathy? Empathy is trying to feel what somebody else is feeling. In other words, it's trying to walk in their shoes. To see what it's like and what they're going through. We need to learn to listen beneath the words. We need to listen with our ears and with our heart. And it's so important that we acknowledge and we confirm other people's feelings, not discount them. Have you ever shared a feeling with somebody, maybe somebody in church, another Christian, you shared that feeling and they struck it down right away? Oh, you shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't think that. You know, I really was going through this really hard time, and to be honest with you, you know, I didn't understand, and I kind of was mad at God. You're mad at God? Christians don't get mad at God. I've never been mad at God. We shouldn't discount people's feelings. They feel what they feel. And you know, We need to respond with door openers, not door closers. You know, you can slam the door shut on somebody. We shouldn't close the door on them. We should open the door. You open the door when you say, I'm interested in whatever you have to say, and I will accept you regardless of what you say. Door closers, on the other hand, they do more harm than good. They tell people that they shouldn't feel what they're feeling, and that what they're feeling, and they're not important. You shouldn't feel that way. Oh, what are you going through? Well, what are you doing wrong? I love the story my pastor, Pastor Mike tells years ago when he was in the hospital for surgery, and he's laying there in his hospital bed, and one of the deacons of the church shows up to visit him in the hospital. And what does the deacon say to Pastor Mike? He says, Pastor, have you been praying while you're here? Well, yeah. Well, has the Lord shown you, has he revealed to you what sin you committed that put you here as punishment for your sin that you needed this surgery? What sin did you commit? I love what Pastor Mike said. He said, well, you know, if everything that we go through is a result of our personal sin, then how come you're not in the bed next to me? I remember another relative. I had some interesting relatives. I was going through something one time, and you know what they said to me? Instead of helping me and encouraging me and building me up, they said, you know what your problem is? You just don't have enough faith. If you have enough faith, this wouldn't be happening to you. Well, I got a little bit of righteous indignation, and I said, who are you to tell me I don't have enough faith? That's a door closer, not a door opener. Yes, there is time to speak the truth. There's time to give direction. But listen, make sure you got it right. And make sure that you have earned the right to say that in their lives. Always, always speak in love. Always give grace. Always be sensitive to and understanding. And try to identify with what that person is going through, what they're feeling. One of the biggest mistakes I ever made in the ministry, when I was a young pastor, I went to visit a guy in the hospital. And I went into his room, and he was dealing with a chronic and a fatal illness. And I did not understand what he was going through. But I'm listening to him talk, and I looked at him, and I said, you know, brother, I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly how you're feeling. And he looked at me, he pointed his finger, and he said, young man, you have no idea how I'm feeling. Now get out of my room. I learned a big lesson. Try to identify with what people are going through, what they're feeling. You know, sometimes you're in a situation and, you know, people just slam the door in your face. They don't really listen. They don't really acknowledge. They don't really understand. We need to have door openers, not door closers. We need to be supportive, give affirmation. I'm praying for you. I'm behind you all the way. I'm here for you. Whenever you want to talk, I'm here for you. We need to give positive suggestions. We need to be careful that we don't give advice to people without really understanding what they're going through. Dr. Crabb says this, and I quote, when someone shares a problem, they want to be understood before they listen to solutions. Unquote. And I close with this. Always give people hope. Always give people hope. If anything, encouragement should always offer hope and give people a reason for courage. Encouragement. Give people courage to face the day. God is with you. God is faithful. God is in control. It will get better. Hang in there. God will see you through. You know, church, I believe that today, more than ever, people need and are looking for encouragement. They're looking to the church. If the church isn't a place where people can find help, hope, and encouragement, then what are we doing here? And they're looking for others who will encourage them. They're looking for people of caring and concern who will love them and listen to them. They're looking for people of compassion who will try to feel what they feel. They're looking for people who will help carry one another's burdens. Make the load a little bit lighter. Be positive. And build people up so that they can have the courage to face another day with Jesus. My friends, will you come to church? Will you spend time with others looking for opportunities to encourage? Will you be an encourager? Maybe you need some encouragement yourself today. We're here for you. We're behind you. We're with you all the way. Jesus is here. He's here for you. He's here to help you. To see you through. To give you hope. Strength. Courage. You see, we're all in this together. With Jesus. With each other. You can face it. You will make it. Be encouraged. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never give up on you. And neither will we. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we draw this service to a close. With every head bowed, every eye closed, very, very quickly. I know today's Mom's Day, lots of plans for lunch, things going on. I'm not going to keep you much longer. But with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, there's somebody here today, you say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I want to be an encourager. I want to be that person you've been talking about. I want to be a blessing. I want to look for people, for opportunities to encourage, to build up my brothers and my sisters. I want to be used of God to help people to get better. I want to be in the ministry of encouragement. If that's you, will you raise your hand today? You want to be an encourager. God bless you. Thank you for those hands. One more question. You can put your hands down. There's somebody here today, you say, Pastor, pray for me because I really need encouragement. I've been going through a rough time. I've been battling. I'm in the middle of it. And I really need some courage. I need some strength. I need some hope. I need some encouragement today. Is that you? Just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. In the back, I see that hand. Anybody else? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the church. Lord, you could have planned things a different way. But you chose to work, to move, to minister through the body, through the family that we call the church. You brought us together. You put us together. You called us together as brothers and sisters. It's part of the church of Jesus Christ. You told us how important it is that we come together, we gather, we assemble together to be in your presence, to hear your word, to worship you, to pray together. But just as importantly, to lift each other up. When one is down, the other can give them courage. Just like Father Fred put his arm in my arm and led me up that hill. You've called us to come together to encourage and minister to each other, to strengthen each other, as Paul said, that we may be mutually encouraged in the faith. Lord, I pray that you will make this a church of encouragers, that we will love one another with the love of Jesus, that we will care for one another, that we will put others as more important than we are. That we'll have compassion on one another. That we will give each other courage. Lord, I pray especially for those who need encouragement today. Lord, you know what they're going through. You know the need, you know the circumstances. For some, God, they're in pain. They're in physical pain. They're suffering, God. There's things wrong in their body. God, we know that you're the healer. And we pray for their healing. And we stand in faith in your word, that the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. We speak healing, Lord. Lord, we pray that you will send the anointing of the Holy Spirit into their lives, into their bodies, that you will set them free and heal them. Lord, for those who are hurting spiritually, mentally, those who are hurting in their homes, in their families, marriages, concerns about children, grandchildren, whatever the situation may be, God. Lord, sometimes we just need courage to continue on. Because we know that you who have called us, you are faithful. And the work that you have begun in us, you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, and that you are with us. And you will see us through. That you were right there as the fourth in the fiery furnace. You will not fail us. Encourage these today. Lift them up. Help them, Lord. Give them hope, I pray today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask Stu, if you put on that second song, the one that we played a few moments ago, Give Me Hope. While this song is playing, it's short, I want to slip to the back, and I don't get to do this very often. The altars are open. If you would like to come and spend time in prayer, but while he's putting this song on, I want to just slip into the back, to the foyer, I should say. And we have a gift for all the moms and all the ladies that are here today. And I just want to be able to personally greet you and say Happy Mother's Day to you. And so the one that we did for the offering. Yeah. And so God bless you. Glad that you're here today. Again, Happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. And God just be with you. And just give me 1 second to get out here, and He'll put that song on, and you consider yourself...